for joining me on Tuesday Teaching Tips. And today we're talking about the sermon as participation. The sermon as participation. And what are we talking about here? Well, public speaking, as someone has said, and I forget who I first heard this from, but public speaking, any preaching, any teaching, is a two-way experience. Even though it's often one person doing most of the actual talking, it's better, I think, to conceptualize the experience as a conversation. You're not the only participant in what's going on when you are speaking to a group of people, no matter how small or large. The people to whom you're speaking, you're hoping, are not passive. If they're passive, they won't be taking in what you're saying. You want them to be active. You want them to be thinking. You want them to be interacting with what you're talking about so that they will hopefully then remember what you're talking about, be perhaps moved by it, remember it, and then act on it. They're meant to be participating. And how do we engender this? How do we inspire people to do this? So greater clarity to my thinking on this was brought to me by a book I've been reading, which is actually on the whole issue of worship, corporate worship in general, participating in worship, by Craig Douglas Erickson, History, Theory, and Practice. From page 106, let me quote this. He says, "Sermons should be designed and delivered in such a way that listeners will respond. Thinking, doing, feeling, deciding for themselves. Preaching that consists of conclusive pronouncements can reduce a congregation into quiet submission and become a form of coercion that hampers participation." I'll put the full quote in the show notes so you can have a look at that, reflect on that later if you like. And what do you think about what Erickson is saying there? The positive side of participation, and I'm reminded of that by what happened to Paul when he's preaching to Festus. Perhaps it's an extreme example, but Acts 26, verse 24. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." Now, it might not have been the Apostle Paul's intention to provoke that outburst specifically, but the fact of that outburst reveals that Paul's words are having an impact. How do we know if our words are having an impact, unless we're getting some kind of feedback? And some of that feedback is not necessarily verbal. Sometimes it's physical, the way people sit, the way people look, the way people's eyes droop, perhaps, or the way that people are smiling or paying attention or even frowning. You know you're getting some kind of impact. But Paul was having an effect on the people listening, on Festus at least, which caused participation. I'd love my lessons more often to cause that kind of reaction. Now, I don't know if I want that precise kind of response the next Sunday, next time I preach, but how do we achieve helpful participation from people who are listening? Well, here are some suggestions. I have five for us today to think about, and I'd love to know what else you have in mind that we could add to this list. So first of all, images. Images, pictures can make a big difference to people participating and to reacting, if you like. Sometimes we've got to be a little careful not to be too shocking with our pictures. I've done that myself on occasion and left people a little shocked, a little disturbed, or just thinking about the image and not about the point. So be a little careful with that. However, powerful images help the visual learners. So images matter. Secondly, handouts. A piece of paper like this. If you're listening to the podcast, you can hear it. If you're watching the video, you can see it. A handout helps the kinetic learners and it helps the visual learners because they've got something to hold and interact with. It helps them to feel what something, to touch it, to see what's on the page. They're interacting with the handouts and with the material as well as you. Handouts can be useful. Thirdly, questions. Questions to which you genuinely want an answer. In other words, not so much rhetorical questions, though they have their place in a lesson, But questions to which you actually want an answer. So some back and forth, asking a question, getting a response can help people with their participation. Fourthly, breakout discussion groups, where you ask people to stop. You stop your sermon for a moment and ask people for a minute or two or three to talk to the person next to them, perhaps in a small group, to discuss what they're learning or what they think about a point you're making. This gives your audience time to talk to each other about what they're learning, and often in doing that, then it helps them to it helps you to sink in what the points really are here. And fifthly, pauses. Simply pauses in your lesson give the audience again time to think and process what's going on and to apply for themselves, to themselves, what you're talking about. Now there are many other ways you can do this, but at least we need to think about it. On this last Sunday, Heinrich was preaching, and he did a useful thing like this, where he asked a question, put the question on the screen, asked the question, and asked us to discuss it for 30 seconds with the person sitting next to us. And Tidu and I were sitting there in the front row, and so we talked for 30 seconds, three different times in the sermon, about the three main points that Heinrich was making. And I can remember them now. I haven't written them down. They're not in my notes, but I'll tell you. The first is that God is powerful. We were asked to reflect on God as powerful. How do we see that? Secondly, God is selfless. And again, how do we see in Scripture God being selfless? And the third is God is a comforter. He's a comforting God. And how do we see this in our own lives? And so here am I, 2 days later, recalling to you those three points. I remember his sermon simply because, at least in part, Tidu and I talked for 30 seconds about each point. It sank in. God is powerful. God is selfless. And God is comforting. You see how this makes a difference. The participation within the sermon can help us to remember things. So I had one other experience recently, which I'll just share with you. I was wrapping up a sermon in the Watford Church of Christ, and I was in my conclusion. And a chap, I don't know if he put up his hand or he just spoke up, and he asked me a question. And the question wasn't really directly linked to what I had been preaching on. It was certainly linked to it, but not my main points. But he asked me a question, stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, do I put him off or do I answer? Anyway, I gave my best effort at an answer, to which he seemed very satisfied. He smiled, a sort of smile, a sort of relax, actually. And the rest of the congregation seemed to appreciate that I had done that. And it struck me that that was something that needed to be done, and it was an evidence that he'd been listening. It showed that he'd been paying attention, because something I said provoked a question in him. And even though, to be honest, when he first spoke up, I was in the middle of my summary, I was a little bit annoyed because I'd prepared that summary and thought about what I was going to say, and he'd interrupted it. But then I thought, that's not, I need to serve the group here, not my own desires and the way I want to do a summary. And so I answered the question, then I wrapped up. And I really liked the way that happened. Could you provoke a bit more of that in the way that you speak? Could you make your sermons more participatory without losing the focus? So I'd like to know what you've seen done well here. I've seen it done well. I've seen it done not so well. I myself have had good and bad experiences of this. But what have you seen done that works? What suggestions would you have to help our lessons become more participatory but without losing the focus? I'd love to know what you think. So please leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording, and leave it publicly so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best when we're learning in community. And in fact, when we're kind of participating in this discussion together. If you know anybody who would benefit from this, please pass the link on. If you're listening to the podcast, please leave a review or hit in YouTube the notification button to be notified, or the like button so that we can spread the word. If you'd like to get my weekly newsletter, please sign up at my website, malcolmcox.org, and I'll send you a free copy of my ebook on the spiritual disciplines, how God helps us to grow. Thank you again for your time today. I apologize for my voice. I've got a stinking cold and a bad throat, but I wanted to record this and get your responses to this idea of sermons as participation. Let me know what you think. So until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care, and God bless.